New York's Classic Rock, Q104.3, where it is Two for Tuesday. And Maria Melito, thank you so much. What a pleasure it has been to work with you, Maria, over all this near decade. You're just so awesome. So thank you for starting our set strong. And, of course, we ended on Two for Tuesday with a double shot of Billy Joel. And it's the aforementioned artist who read in Newsday about a week ago that I was leaving Q104.3 today and said, why don't you come out here where it's beautiful and do the show live. And you know what? What a great idea. And so I sit here with the man himself in his home office here. And as I kind of look to the right, the Hamptons are so beautiful on a day like today. The Downeaster Alexa, isn't that the boat you built and designed and sang about in the song we just played, right there parked in the water?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It's a nice setup.
Yeah. Is Buffett still...
Jimmy's got a house right down the road. I hesitate to say what the name of the town is, but he's very close to where I am.
Yeah.
I can see his boat when I go out on my boat.
So have you been out on the Peconic Bay and you're spending a lot of time on the water?
Yeah, we just got back from a fishing trip. We went out to the Hudson Canyon, which is about 80 miles out. Takes a half a day to get there. Takes about a half a day to get there. What is that, Jimi Hendrix? You travel by my dragonfly. We have a boat that was built up in Maine that I just got. I'm going to use it down in Florida. I went there down in Florida now. And we took the boat out to see if we could catch fish, and we caught a tuna. Within 10 minutes, we hooked up.
Jeez.
We hooked up on a yellowfin, and within another 20 minutes, we hooked up on a giant. Unfortunately, that fish rolled back into the lure, into the rig. Hi, Katie. My wife's home.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing an interview.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. And we were out there. It was pretty nasty. Steep seas, very set close together, which is not a good sea condition to try to fish in. So we stayed out for a couple of hours. Everybody else around us was getting skunked. So we said, you know what? We got our fish. Boat pulled a fish. Great. Let's go back.
You keep them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I eat them or I sell them. I don't trophy fish.
Right.
I only either sell fish, and I can't sell fish anymore because I don't have a commercial license. But the guy who was with us had a commercial license.
Sure.
You have to prove that half your income comes from fishing, which I have a difficult time proving.
That's right.
So,
but I'm sure given your, you know, close relationship with the fishermen on the East End, you kind of support that.
Well, I support them being able to do it. It's okay if I can't make money on it. Although that's part of the fun is helping pay for owning the stupid boat in the first place. If you can sell a nice big fish, they have brokers on the dock that'll buy your fish. But we had a guy with us who actually had the license, so
yeah.
It was a good day. It was a 12-hour day. It was
nice.
Pretty good.
Very nice.
Yeah, but I'm not out as often as I'd like to be. No, nobody with a boat is ever out enough to justify owning the stupid boat.
Especially with the gas prices today, right? I mean, you think about what it must cost to fill a boat up.
Well, that's hurting the charter guys who are out in Montauk. If you've been out in Montauk recently, the guys are kind of sitting there, and it doesn't look like a happy situation. Fuel is killing them. People aren't spending money like they used to do, you know, recreational stuff like they used to. So, you know, we're hoping they'll be able to weather this.
Yeah. I mean, even in the good times, you know, they're the recipient of some of our charity Begins at Home dollars. So I can imagine how tough it is in these tough times. All right. We're here with Billy Joel. We are live from the Hamptons. I'm Bob Buckman. And more Two for Tuesday in just a second at Q104.3. New York's Classic Rock, Q104.3, Two for Tuesday, and Two from the Police. This is Bob Buckman. I am here on my last day at Q104.3 with my friend Billy Joel. We are at his place. Sticking with Sting and the Police for just a second, what an amazing night it was at Carnegie Hall for Sting and Trudy's Rainforest Benefit concert recently. And, of course, you were a part of that.
Yeah, he taps me every time they do this. I think it's every other year now that they do it at Carnegie Hall. It's a great show. You can kind of get out of your own skin. They have a theme every time they do the Rainforest Benefit. One year it was the Beatles. Another year it was Motown. Another time it was Sinatra. And everybody gets a chance to do other material than their own. And Carnegie Hall, of course, is a wonderful venue for music. And he's got the best band in the world. Michael Nardo Walden puts together this incredible group of musicians. So that's fun. Doesn't take a ton of rehearsal. You rehearse a little bit before we do it. And then there's dress rehearsals. And his wife, Sting's wife, Trudy, is running the show. She's a taskmaster.
Yeah.
Trudy. I think Sting kind of likes this.
Yeah.
But Trudy is, she's very organized, and she makes the thing work. And it's been fun. It's always fun. He bought my old apartment in Manhattan. I had a place on Central Park West. I was going to sell it, and I was praying for a rock star, because they don't care what their accountant says. If they want it, they just buy it.
There you go.
And Sting came along, and he bought it, and I think they're just about to sell it now. And so I said, I owe you, man. Thanks a lot. And so every year at the Rainforest, I do the Rainforest because, well, thanks a lot. You bought my apartment.
The thing that impressed me was that James Taylor brought his kids out, and Sting brought his daughter out, right, who can really sing.
Yeah, she's great.
And you brought Alexa out.
Yeah.
And that was the first time publicly you guys ever performed together.
That's right. The theme of the show was parents and children. And I heard that, and I went, okay, well, this is an opportunity for Alexa and I to do a duet. The opportunity was there before, but we've been very, very careful. She's been out on tour, toured all over the states in these little podunk towns, playing at colleges, clubs, opening for other people, doing it the hard way. She's got to learn the craft. And I haven't really been opening any doors for her. People assume that because she's my daughter, I'm going to make it easy for her. But I haven't. But she's really doing it all on her own. So we've been very, very careful not to do an appearance together, because people will naturally think, oh, you know, she's riding on dad's coattails.
And this isn't new. I mean, I remember years ago, you and I were walking down the street in Sag Harbor, and you said, there's her piano teacher's place.
We needed the perspective. We needed the distance. I wasn't the one to teach her how to play the piano. I didn't even really push her to do it. Her mom did. Her mom was really pushing her to take the piano lessons and more of the disciplinary, and I was the easygoing dad, you know. Oh, whatever you want, honey. I'm a pushover. But this is what she wanted to do, and I knew she'd be doing something like this ever since she was a baby. She has perfect pitch. She made up her own songs when she was a little girl. She was very musical, and she loved it. And so she's doing the right thing. She's doing what she should do. But unfortunately, children of musicians have a harder time than, say, children of actors. It seems to be taken as a matter of course that actors' children become actors. There doesn't seem to be as much difficulty with it. But children of musicians, there's more of a problem with it for people. So we've been very careful about it. But we got to do the duet. She picked the song, which was Baby Grand, which I duetted with Ray Charles on the original recording. And I had to change the key. I dropped the key about 5 tones. So I was way down in the basement, but it was perfect for her voice.
Yeah.
And we had a blast. We had a great time. Well, that's my clock.
I tell you what, it worked. It really worked. She sounded great. You sounded... I could kind of see in your eyes, you know, it was kind of that father-daughter pride.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah, they call it kvelling.
Yeah.
It's a good Yiddish word, kvelling. She's got a great voice, and she's kind of a throwback. She likes old stuff. She likes Etta James. She likes Ray Charles. She likes Motown. She likes rock and roll from my era. She's not thrilled with pop music right now, with new music. A few acts here and there she likes, but she's kind of an anachronism. It's very interesting.
Well, we'll talk about Shea Stadium in a second, because that is on the top of everybody's mind. Right here at Q104.3 with Billy Joel. New York's Classic Rock, it's Q104.3, 2 for Tuesday, 2 from Steppenwolf, as we broadcast live from the Hamptons. This is Bob Buckman, my final show at Q104.3. We're here with Billy Joel at his home, and in the room right behind us, it's bigger than a room. It's kind of like a mini version of Jay Leno. How many motorcycles are there right behind us?
Right now, I think there's 14 bikes.
Just beautiful showpieces. All kind. I mean, the oldest one is...
The oldest one is a World War II BMW, Wehrmachtgespann, with the sidecar. And then there's an old Royal Enfield Army bike that goes back to the 40s. Different years, different bikes. I ride them. I'm not just collecting them. I mean, I actually use them.
Yeah.
People must wonder about that. Oh, boy, he's not very good with cars. How is he with motorcycles? I'm actually luckier on the bikes than
Thank
I am
God.
With the cars. Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah.
And Billy, one of these bikes looks old but is actually new, and it's part of this new project you're doing with my friends in Huntington at Lighthouse Harley-Davidson. It's called 20th Century Cycles. where you kind of pay homage to the heritage of motorcycling by creating these bikes out of the 40s, except like they're brand new. I've thrown photos and some details up at Q1043.com, keyword Bob, so that everybody can check this out. Let's turn to Shay, because it's on the top of everybody's mind. What a trip. The guests, your special guests on that Shay stage.
I'm amazed that we were able to keep a lid on who the guests were. I assumed as soon as we invited people, it would get out and everybody would kind of know what was going on. As you know, we ended up doing two shows at Shay. We originally were only given one date, which was Wednesday, the 16th of July. So we called it the last play at Shay. And then we found out when after the tickets went on sale, the tickets went very fast. But a lot of the reason for that was the scalpers were able to get a bunch of them. They don't really enforce the scalping laws in New York anymore. And we got a lot of complaints from people. We couldn't get tickets. We stood in line. We couldn't get tickets. What do we got to do? So we went back to the Mets organization and said, listen, a lot of people got skunked on the tickets. Can you give us another date? Can we do another date? The only date that they had was the following Friday, which we had mixed feelings about. We said, well, geez, these people thought they got the last show at Shay. What do we do? You know, and I made the decision. I said, look, you know what? Too many people got aced out of the tickets. I want to let the real fans get the tickets. So we put the other show on sale. And we had a lineup of special guests for both nights. Fortunately, we were able to get people to be able to come on both nights and rearrange their schedules. And this, some people are still kind of bugged that they didn't get to the last show. We ended up calling it the last double play at Shay. You know what I realized? You can't please everybody. You try to please the fans who got aced out of tickets, then you angered the fans who got the tickets. And I can't get involved in that thing. Yeah. It's, you know, it was our show. Whoever showed up, you know, nobody knew. So yeah. You can't look in somebody else's ticket and say, oh, you got the artist I like better. You know, tough patooties. That's you know, what else? What are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Yeah. Let's talk about some of those artists when we come back on Q1043. Just one sec. Q1043, this is Bob Buckman. My final show, I'm broadcasting live from Billy Joel's place on the East End. And talking about Shay, the last play at Shay, your incredible performance, and your special guests from Tony Bennett to Paul McCartney.
I had asked Paul if he could show up long before we even put the second show on. We thought we might get him to come on that Wednesday night. But I was told that his schedule was such that he wasn't going to be able to make it. He had some kind of custody thing with the kid and the ex-wife, and he couldn't come then because he was had to pick up the kid. Bah, 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 bah. So I get a phone call on the Friday before the show at Shay, and it's from Paul. And he calls me on my cell phone, and he goes, oh, it's Paul. So I'm going, Paul, I don't know, Paul Reiser, Paul, you know, Paul McCartney. I said, oh, that Paul. He goes, you know, I'm really sorry I can't make the show. I've got a flight coming in New York, and probably be too late for me to make it. I said, well, look, man, you tried. Thanks for thinking about it. And that was it. That night, the show ran about 3.5 hours. And we're playing, and towards the end of the set, there's all this activity. And everybody's buzzing around backstage. And what happened? Somebody comes up on stage. I think it was during Scenes from an Italian Restaurant. And they go, the package has arrived. I said, what package? They said, Paul. Paul's here. I said, you got to be kidding me. And we had worked out some Beatles songs just to do as our own thing. And then Paul was there. And I went back. I said, well, what do you want to do? I mean, we could do She Loves You. He goes, no, I don't know that one, which was really like, I don't like that one. I said, okay, what about, you know, I saw her standing there. Great. And then we did that. He had his Hofner bass, and you know, we were in shock, as I think the audience was too. Nobody really expected him to show up, and he did this out of the goodness of his heart. I mean, he didn't get paid, we didn't pay for any expenses, we didn't have to make any special arrangements. I understand there was a whole McGilla with the police and Secret Service getting him through customs, blah 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 blah. But I mean, I was thrilled, and then. After we did Piano Man, I really thought that the right thing to do was let Paul close the show. The Beatles opened the place. Give it to Paul. Man, you take it out. And he wanted to do Let It Be, so I was happy to just sit on the piano. He played the piano. It was very surreal. very surreal experience, considering I'm such a Beatle nut.
Yeah. You know? I mean, the audience was blown away, but they could see that you were blown away.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a fan. I'm a fan of all these people. The first night, we had Tony Bennett. He did New York State of Mind, went completely off the script. Never mind what we rehearsed. Tony went his own way. And you know what? Even when he's wrong, he's right. He's Tony Bennett. We had John Mayer, who plays great guitar. He's got that Hendrix-y touch.
He loves Hendrix. He came on the station as a guest DJ. He played an hour of Hendrix.
Yeah.
And he loves it.
Well, you could tell he's done his homework because he's got that touch. And I picked out a song that I thought would be great for him to play on guitar, which was This Is the Time. And he came over to me after rehearsal. He goes, "That's the perfect song. Thank you for picking that one." I said, "No, I know your stuff. I saw him once, and I was very impressed. He's a very good musician." He didn't want to sing. He just wanted to be a player. And I respect that because I have that same kind of propensity to just want to be the quiet musician playing the racks. We had Henley, who showed up, Don Henley, who owes me a bunch of favors. So I called in my IOU.
You've done the Walden Woods or whatever it is?
I've done Walden Woods. I've done Save the This, Save the That, Don. You know, can you do an interview for me about the Eagles? Yeah. And he's a cranky guy, but I bust his chops about it. He knows he's cranky, and I'm cranky Don. He shows up. We have to go over the song three times. He's not happy with the monitors. Everybody's, oh, God, Don, the crank. But, he's a good guy. Mellencamp showed up and did Pink Houses, which was a real, that was a kick. Just having these guys come up and just winging it. And then the second night, we had Tony came again, Tony Bennett, Garth Brooks, who just flew up from Nashville, on a whim.
But he's a big Billy Joel fan, Garth.
Yeah, well, I found that out. I mean, he knows all my stuff. Yeah. He does some of my stuff during his show. I didn't even know this.
And he had a huge hit with Shameless.
Shameless was a big hit, a country hit.
Yeah.
It's funny because I thought of it as a Hendrix song. As a matter of fact, if John Mayer was going to be there on the Friday night, we're going to have him play with Garth because it's a very Hendrix-y guitar part. And that was the song that Garth made a country hit. That was great. Who else did we have that night? Steven Tyler showed up, which blew me away because I don't know if people know this. His mom had just passed away a few days before the gig. So we were all very, really impressed that the guy made this effort. I think he wanted to do it kind of as a therapy thing to help him, get through that time. That was a real, real favor for us that he did that. He did a great job. Rocked the house with Walk This Way. And then who else did we have that night? Roger Daltrey came up and sang My Generation because The Who had played at Shea. I mean, it was all very sort of poetic how this was all falling into place. We kept looking at each other on stage. Do you believe this? Can you believe this? And shaking their heads like, don't ask questions. You're going to screw it up. Just roll with it. And then when McCartney showed up, that was kind of the creme de la menthe, How are you going to top this?
Yeah.
And then after the show, we all looked at each other. Hell, I guess the only thing left to do is die now. That's it. How do you top this? So, and we're going to tour again. We're going to tour in the fall. But it's going to be hard to get back up there again.
Well, it was a New York moment. It really was. And that's all it really has to be, The future doesn't have to necessarily match that because it really can't.
You know what? Something will happen, though. I mean, I kind of feel like the Forrest Gump of rock and roll. I played in the Soviet Union. We were the first Western act to play there from the States. That was a major, major gig, which is still with me. Played in Cuba in 79. We played in Japan during the Kobe quake. We played in Berlin during the reunification of Germany, East and West Germany. All these things have happened in my life, in my career. It's just been amazing. And the Shea thing was, Yankee Stadium was one thing. Right. Giants, the touring with Elton was another thing. Yeah. And then the Shea Stadium thing.
The trifecta. The only guy to play all three.
It's the hat trick.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, it's just, it gets better and better and better. So I'm expecting
that it will continue to.
Yeah. Things will happen. Stuff happens.
Let It Be the Beatles. Here they are. Q104.3. Two for Tuesday, New York's Classic Rock, Q104.3. And this is Bob Buckman on my final show at the station. Please stay tuned to Q for some information about something very exciting that we've really never announced before. But that announcement is forthcoming very soon on the radio station. It is about a show that you, Billy, have been nice enough to say, I want to do it in honor of the 30th anniversary of the charity that I created, which is Charity Begins at Home. And our listeners certainly know that organization very, very well. But it's going to feature a Billy Joel performance for 400 people. There'll only be 400 tickets sold for charity. It's amazing it's coming this fall. And the details will be on Q1043.
You want to call it a performance?
It's a masterclass.
It's a thing.
It's a masterclass. You haven't done one of those in like 7-8 years.
It's been a while. We did an entire tour of this. It's a Q&A, a masterclass with some music and just a spurt with answering questions from people. And it was a lot of fun. It's another way to do a gig, and also a way to explain a lot about what you do to people who are curious about the job.
Yeah.
We should film that. We should put it on video or film, because I did so many of these things. Some of them were filmed, some of them weren't. But they're at the I think next year sometime, they're talking about coming out with an anthology of all my stuff. And we're trying to gather all these things that I filmed, interviews, television appearances, concerts, master classes, all these things. They want to roll in a documentary that we did about the Shea shows. So this could all go into that mix. It'd be a good thing to have.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a great way to memorialize that.
Yeah. So the audience will probably be in a movie.
Billy Joel, what a pleasure, man. Thank you for the invitation out here and in God's country. I love this. A beautiful day. I'm glad you're well. Shea was such a trip. What an incredible experience that was for all of us, and I know for you too. And just I think you have to be happy. You have to be a real, you know, you have to be loving life.
Sono molto contento. Yes, yeah. Life is good. I want to wish you happiness and good luck with all your future endeavors, Bob.
Yeah, this is it for me here in New York. All will be great, and the best is yet to come.
I think so. And thank you for your support all over the years.
Well, thank you for your support and your friendship. And thanks to all the listeners. You know, I mean, the people in the Tri-State area, we have amassed over 3 million listeners a week. Without their support of classic rock and the way we present it here on this radio station, my dream for the last decade would have never happened. So thank you to everyone listening and for embracing our staff, our wonderful staff, and the guys who let me put this staff together and this music together and to listen to the listeners and what they wanted. My bosses, Tom Pullman and Rob Williams. It's been incredible. So this is Bob Buckman. Kenny Daschow, my friend, is next. Talk soon.
Cool.
Good.
We're good.
Before we get all mushy and start hugging each other.